Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Before we look ahead to the great readings for this Sunday's Feast of Pentecost, let me add one more preparatory tool. If I could call our Blessed Mother a tool, I don't mean to in any way denigrate her. She is a piece, a part of this preparation that we've been speaking about all week, the preparation to believe that the Holy Spirit has much for us, many gifts to give us. He will equip us if we lay our lives before him, if we say, use me as you wish, rather than, oh, God, do this for me and do that for me. Well, God wants more. He'll accept even our attempt at trying to give ourselves to God, but how much more does he have a place to work with if I simply say to God, my life is yours, do with me what you wish. And then tell him what you think you'd like to do, but let it up to him. That's giving him the blank slate, so to speak. And I think that there's no one better to prepare us for celebrating this Feast of Pentecost than the feast that's actually celebrated today, May 13th. This is the anniversary of Fatima. And this year, it's 99 years. Next year is the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Go back and reread the messages of Fatima. Go back and read what Our Lady said. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to give you wisdom and insight so that your life in a certain sense becomes reprioritized, that you begin to see differently. Ask the Blessed Mother to accompany you. And when you can, read about Fatima, read the messages of Fatima. Very, very important, brothers and sisters, very important. We take a look now for the readings for this Sunday of the great Feast of Pentecost. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, every feast is so powerful when we live it in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're not just the bystander, not just the spectator, not just the commemorator of something past, but we're actually in the dynamism of the action that God has taken, the action that we celebrate. It's amazing. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He brings us into a present reality that God the Holy Spirit, with the same graces given at a particular point in church history, is there for us, for you and for me. And so it is for the great Feast of Pentecost. The opening prayer today is this: O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth, and add there, and in my own heart. Look at that. This is the prayer the church prays for this feast all over the world. We pray the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth. And with the divine grace that was at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of believers. Fill now my heart, Lord. Fill the heart of my family. Fill the heart of my parish. Fill the heart of the whole church. Fill my heart with your presence and your gifts that I may become a true disciple. However you choose to use me, that I become yours. Pray that way and pray it every day. Don't just say it for Pentecost. Pray it every day and watch what God does in your life. He takes that prayer very seriously. So mean it and repeat it over and over again. Dispose your heart. Make your heart ready. Because when God comes, he often comes quietly. We get shaken up when something startles us, and sometimes God does startle us, but so very often he comes quietly, and we can miss him because we're too, too tuned in to all the devices that we can use now all over the world to talk to anybody, anywhere, and receive anything, anytime, anywhere. The phones are always ringing. We're always hooked into something. And I'm not saying that they can't be used and have a purpose, but not 24/7. You need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. You really do. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered. So they heard the sound. It was an audible physical noise. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. That's what God can do. And they were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? How does each one of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the district of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The Holy Spirit can do that. Really? Really, honestly, if it will serve the gospel, it will serve the preaching of the gospel, and we are open to it, you will do it. I remember being at a prayer service. It was just a time of praise and worship and thanksgiving in the charismatic renewal. It was a beautiful time of worship. And then this man spoke up, and he spoke in a language. I'm not even sure if I remember now what the language was, because it wasn't a common one. But he spoke in another language, and nobody was saying either the meaning of it. But he felt like the Holy Spirit just said, "Open your mouth and I'll give you what you need." And so he prayed out this. It was just a sentence or two of prayer. And there was a man in another part of the room who turned and he looked so startled. And he said, in English, he said, "You're speaking my language. You're speaking the language I grew up with. That was God speaking to me." And he knew it. He knew that the message was a message for him. God can do that. God does that today. It's just we have very little faith. Now, God does different things at different times. I don't think that God is going to repeat Pentecost today. Although the grace can become alive in our own lives, and it's like Pentecost to us, yes. But there are times, brothers and sisters, as we minister in different countries in the world, we see God using us to bring understanding to somebody that we have no idea how we accomplished it because we didn't know the language. And sometimes it's that people are given an understanding of English, and there are a few instances where people are hearing it in their own language and they can respond and they have it right. Now, I don't want to sensationalize this because this is one of the gifts that God has. He has so much. And the greatest gift that he has for us is union with him. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to lead us into union with the Father and the Son. That's what we're after. Don't get stopped on the gifts. Those gifts are there, and those gifts are to be used in preaching the gospel. They really are. You can talk about the gifts from Isaiah. You can talk about the gifts from 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. They speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that for ministry, and the gifts that help us to draw closer to God into a deeper and more personal relationship with him. God has all of that for us. Psalm 104. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Really, renew the face of the earth. Now, the church offers us some other readings. You can either do Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. That's very good to read on Pentecost, and I want you to do it. And then Romans 8, 8 to 17. That's the one I'm going to speak a little bit right now. But I want you to read both those readings, Romans and 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Romans 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Have you repented of your sin? The Spirit of God dwells in you if you have been baptized. But whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Think about that. You're destined for eternal life. The Spirit is in you to raise you to life for all eternity. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that's sin, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. It is the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to introduce you and to bring you into union with the Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This program is not long enough for all that I want to say. Brothers and sisters, take an opportunity. It's in your missalette at church. Read the sequence. Read the prayer, the early prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit. Read it. Pray it out loud. And John 14, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's a defense attorney, is an advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Listen to those promises. Open your heart, ask for them. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Ask the Holy Spirit when you're in doubt, when you need wisdom, courage. Ask him. He's there for you. Happy, happy Pentecost. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.